Back pain is incredibly common. It's the second most common neurological ailment in the United States, after headaches. It affects workers and employers in the arena of employee compensation, and it can move from a physical problem to one that's emotional and social.
Our next guest specializes in treating back pain and says it's time for doctors to take it seriously. Jack Stern is a neurosurgeon specializing in spine surgery at Weill Cornell Medical College. He's also the co-founder of Spine Options, New York's first and only facility devoted to non-surgical care of back and neck pain. He's the author of Ending Back Pain, Five Powerful Steps to Diagnose, Understand, and Treat Your Ailing Back. Dr. Stern, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks very much, and thank you for inviting me on.
Well, it seems like a lot of people in their lives have back pain at one time or another. It's such a common complaint. Do patients and their doctors take it seriously enough?
Unfortunately, and fortunately, they don't. Fortunately, because for most of us, back pain is a very self-limiting disease, and the old adage, take two pills and call me in the morning or perhaps call me in a week, usually works. Unfortunately, there are a significant number of patients who have recurrent bouts of back pain and or have chronic back pain for whom those two pills just don't work.
Well, and you tell a story about one of the reasons you decided to dig deeper into back pain, and it's part of why you have more compassion for people who suffer from it. Your wife decided to get you a, quote, special massage on your birthday, which kind of took a wrong turn. You want to tell us what happened?
Yeah, well, Judy said my birthday gift was going to be a very gentle massage, and as it turns out, this very large woman ended up showing up to our home and walked on my back. And after she walked on my back, I had significant trouble walking. And for the first time, I really felt what my patients must feel when they have severe back pain and inability to move or to walk. And that was really the incentive in many ways for me to write this book. A sense of compassion and empathy for my patients who, along the way, really have been my greatest teachers. So, yeah, that's how it began.
Was that the first time you had back pain that severe?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And like many others, I've had a bout of back pain before that, but never such severe back pain. Interesting, what I stress in my book, Ending Back Pain, is the fact that back pain itself isn't really a diagnosis. And it really requires additional thought on the part of the physician to find out the source of your back pain. And only if one really delves into finding out the source of the back pain can you really treat back pain effectively. And that's one of the points I try to make again and again to my patients and make that point in the book.
Right. I mean, if you just take the phrase back pain, it's kind of nebulous. You don't really know what you're talking about. So how do you get to a diagnosis about just what exactly is going on?
First part is because, thank goodness for most of us, it's such a self-limiting disease, it's learning how to advocate for oneself with the healthcare system. Because most of us, when we have back pain, get short shrift. So the first point I try to make is learn how to advocate for yourself in the healthcare system. Number two, be as part of being a good advocate, be able to identify where your pain is, what its characteristics are, when it comes on, what makes it worse, what makes it better. Is it back pain or is it leg pain? Is it one leg? Is it both legs? Has it affected any other functioning like weakness or difficulty going to the bathroom? So point two is you have to be a very strong advocate. And number three is ensuring that the right diagnostic tests are done, usually an MRI or a CAT scan, sometimes just simply an X-ray to help make that diagnosis. Only with that diagnosis, only once you and the physician in partnership have made a diagnosis, can the treatment options be presented to you. And although I'm a neurosurgeon, this book is not about surgery. It's about providing people with a proper diagnosis and then providing them with the treatment options, the variety of treatment options. In this case, from least invasive treatment options to most invasive treatment options. And because I'm also a PhD and have done research, it was really important for me in this book to provide the reader with scientific data on each one of the treatment options, particularly those studies that were double-blinded. So that this is a book for educating oneself and making really intelligent decisions about how to treat your back pain and what the source of that back pain is.
Do you think that more people get steered towards surgery or want themselves to have surgery than is really necessary?
That is a keen question. I don't think any sensible person, except when they're in extreme pain or have a real neurologic deficit, you know, weakness or loss of sensation, wants surgery. I think there's too much surgery going on for chronic low back pain. And that is clearly being addressed by our medical society, by physicians itself, trying to further define which patients are appropriate for surgery. The number of patients who have had back surgery has increased almost logarithmically over the last 10 years. And if one really looks at the criteria for those patients who have had surgery, the criteria seem to be vague, which usually means to those of us who look at data critically that there are a lot of patients or a significant number of patients who probably have had surgery that might not have warranted it.
Well, you mentioned lower back pain. Now, that's a common one. It afflicts a lot of people over the course of their lives. What are some of the things that can cause lower back pain?
Well, overwhelmingly, lower back pain is caused by some sort of muscle spasm. You took the air conditioner out of the window. It was much stronger, it was much heavier than you thought it would be. And you put it down and you say, oh, my back aches. And you've probably pulled a muscle. Or what I call the weekend warriors go out there on the weekend and do sports where the rest of the week they're sitting behind the computer, or it's a really snowy, wintry day, and you decide to go out there and shovel the driveway of 6 inches of snow. So over the course of a lifetime, most people do something foolish like that. We as Americans tend to not be in the best of shape, and we as a nation also have a problem with obesity. So the combination of those two things and being foolish with one's body mechanics usually leads to back pain that's based on some sort of ligamentous or bony pain.
Do all cultures experience back pain, you know, at the same rates?
No. It's interesting. In the book, Ending Back Pain, I talk about the incidence of back pain in East Germany and the incidence of West Germany before the two, East Berlin and West Berlin, before the two cities were united. And the incidence of back pain was much lower in East Berlin than in West Berlin, and yet it, after about 5 years, the incidence became the same once the two cities became one. And there are a number of reasons for that. Some of it has to do with the fact that there was suddenly better health care. So people who had back pain now had the opportunity to seek help for it. The other was that there was a greater awareness that people had back pain. And number three, in most civilized or third world countries, people do not have to work if they have back pain. We have social systems in place that help individuals who have pain, not only back pain, but all sorts of pain, but in this case, back pain in particular, so that the workplace has to provide them with time off and with the ability to seek health care, which wasn't the paradigm in East Berlin before the two merged. So, yes, there are vast differences in many countries, even in cities, and it's multifactorial. There are many factors that go into why that is.
We're talking right now with Dr. Jack Stern about healing back pain. He's a neurosurgeon at Weill Cornell Medical College. His new book is called Ending Back Pain, 5 Powerful Steps to Diagnose, Understand, and Treat Your Ailing Back.
And you can call in with your experiences and your questions. Do you suffer from back pain? How do you cope? Did you find the right treatment or the cause? Or did it take some doing? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page.
We're talking with a specialist about curing back pain right now. Dr. Jack Stern is a neurosurgeon specializing in spine surgery at Weill Cornell Medical College. He's also the founder of the Spine Options, a facility devoted to non-surgical care of back and neck pain. And he's the author of the book, Ending Back Pain.
You can join the conversation now at 800-642-1234. Do you have back pain? What makes it come and go? Did you find the right treatment right away, or did it take a while? Or are you still looking? Call 800-642-1234 or email talk@WPR.org.
And we're going to go to our phone lines right now. We've got Kent with us from Porterfield. Hi, Kent.
Hey, how you doing?
Pretty good. What do you think about this, the back pain issue?
Well, I've got it bad. I mean, I've been working construction for most of my life. I'm going to be 54 this year. I've got lower back pain. I go to the chiropractor, any pain around my neck and between my shoulders and things like that, he can set it and get it back into position. And I ice it down. It helps out a lot. But lately, in the last probably 2 years or so, my back has been getting real bad, my lower back. Now, does he think I should go have a x-ray or something done to look at it to see what's going on down there?
All right, well, let's find out. Dr. Stern, what do you think about this case?
Well, our caller is such a classic. You're such a classic patient of someone who does hard work for all your life and have used your back and probably, by the nature of the work you do, have overused or abused your back. Quite frankly, if you do an MRI on you or a CAT scan or an X-ray, we're going to find significant amount of disc degeneration. You've just used up your parts beyond their ability to repair themselves. And for someone like you, surgery is highly unlikely to help you. The things that might help are, one, changing the work you do, and I know that's a challenging concept. Number two is to learn techniques to use better body mechanics. And number three, your internist or your family doctor may suggest some intermittent trials of non-steroidal anti-inflammatories to help you through those toughest parts of the day or toughest parts of the week. But in essence, there are no magic answers to the problem you have. And the problem you have is widespread.
All right. Well, Kent, I hope that helps and some of those suggestions bring you some relief. Now, Kent referenced going to a chiropractor, getting realigned or what have you, and feeling okay for a while. Is that something that you recommend, Dr. Stern? What about chiropractors?
Yes. Again, in ending back pain, I look at what studies have been done to actually validate a treatment. And there are a number of very good studies in the medical literature that validate the use of chiropractic. So that I frequently send patients to chiropractors. Over the years, I have had many chiropractors send me patients. I have actually been on the board of the New York Chiropractic College. So I have found chiropractic very useful for a great many of my patients. And like every other treatment modality, it's not for every patient. So sometimes it's a hit and miss sort of thing where you send the patients to the chiropractor. And sometimes in this case, it helps for the patient's neck, but not for the patient's low back. But to answer your question, yes, I send patients to chiropractors frequently. And I find that in a significant number of instances, patients benefit.
And what about other forms of complementary medicine that you wouldn't find, you know, if you went to your clinic, yoga or Pilates, things like that, acupuncture?
Well, all those modalities have strong functionality in terms of treating patients' back pain. There's certainly evidence that acupuncture can be effective in treating back pain. I, for one, really suggest strongly that patients do yoga or Pilates because I believe that if you learn to stretch, you're less likely to injure yourself. And both yoga and Pilates stress flexibility. The other thing that I advocate for is patients attempting something called the Alexander technique, which is a mind-body technique that teaches individuals, and it's used frequently for actors and musicians, to use their body mechanics better. This might not be appropriate for someone who does heavy labor, although it could be, but all these techniques are helpful. The trick is, or the key is always, trying to figure out in whom they will be helpful. And sometimes that's really an issue of trial and error.
All right. Well, we thank you, Kent, and we'll move now to Therese in Viroqua. Hi there.
Hi. Well, my issue would be upper back pain that includes the shoulders and neck that I've had for years, starting out mildly when I was in my 20s, and then just gotten worse over the years. Lately, the latest thing I tried was a couple years ago, tried some physical therapy, and they said I was overusing my shoulder muscles right at the top of your muscles, like they're overdeveloped. Mm-hmm. And they taught me some exercises, how to strengthen the other muscles to avoid using those muscles instead, the ones on the shoulders on top. And it did not help. I tried that for a few months, and they assured me I was doing the exercises like they wanted me to, and it didn't help. And it's just gotten worse over the years, where it radiates all the way down to my arms and my hands even, so it's hard to do any heavy lifting or repetitive work with my arms or hands.
All right. What do you think, Dr. Stern? Pain that radiates down from her shoulder.
First, I would say that obviously this is not an issue of low back pain. This is really an issue of cervical and neck pain. And what alarms me a bit about what you're saying is that it's not just that you have the pain now in your neck or in your shoulders, but it's radiating to your arms. So it seems to be more than just one or two muscle groups, but in fact may be involving the nerves that extend from your neck, actually from your spinal cord, in your neck, in your cervical spine, down to your arms. I would strongly suggest, if you haven't already, that you have your internist or your neurologist look at you carefully to make sure that you haven't developed any muscle atrophy, that you haven't developed any loss of strength or any loss of sensation, in which case they would probably recommend, and I would certainly endorse that, that you get an MRI just to make sure that there isn't compression on the nerves and it's really a nerve problem that's manifesting itself as a muscle problem.
Okay, well, good luck with that, Therese. I wish you well on that. And one more quick call from Ben here in Milwaukee. Ben, how's your back?
Yes, hello. I'm 28 years old, and I experienced a what they call spondylolisthesis in my L5 when I was 15 years old. I just wanted to call and reiterate what the doctor is saying, that I saw many different orthopedic surgeons, and many of them were willing to perform a spinal fusion at a very young age. And, of course, I was also sent to physical therapy, and I performed some other duties to try to strengthen my core. But I was just amazed at how many orthopedic surgeons were ready to jump into the OR. And I just wanted to say to anybody out there that you got to give a lower back pain some time. With somebody who's been living with it for 13 years, there are definitely other activities that you can do. And as he said, stretching and, manipulating the way that you perform an activity to be able to function it properly without experiencing pain.
All right. Thanks a lot, Ben. And Ben, echoing, I guess, what you had said about a lot of people wanting to go into surgery, but maybe spending some time with it. Do people need to spend more time getting non-surgical resolution?
I love what Ben had to say. Ben has spondylolisthesis, which is probably a congenital condition where the bones in his spine didn't fuse properly. It's a congenital condition in a young person. And I see all the time what Ben has experienced, and that is that an orthopedist or even a spinal neurosurgeon sees that the bones haven't fused and said, well, they're not fused. Let's take you to the operating room and let's fuse those bones. But Ben, and I'm sure at your age of 13, your parents were part of the decision-making process, were wise enough to say, let's just wait. Let's see if, as you said, Ben, let's see if we can strengthen your core see if they can take on a regimen of strengthening and stretching. And so many patients, like yourself, Ben, have avoided surgery because they were aware enough, alert enough, to realize that surgery, that there are other options, and you fortunately followed those options. That issue is addressed in my book, Ending Back Pain, and you speak as if you had already read the book, and obviously you haven't because it just came out, but this is what I stress in that book, that surgery and people like yourself is not the answer, that there are many other options.
Well, let's talk about some of those options. I mean, if you're someone who's had a acute back pain or any kind of back pain, once it goes away, you never want to go back there again. I've got about a minute left, but what can we do to keep our backs healthy?
The most important thing is stretching, a regular routine of stretching. Establishing any habit in our lives is challenging, any habit. So the habit of getting up and stretching for 5 or 10 minutes as we get up, or 5 or 10 minutes when we go to bed, is challenging. But I can tell you, if you have back pain, establishing a stretching regimen and establishing a simple core muscle strengthening core regimen will avoid recurrences of back pain. They are the key. And the other small hint is that when you suspect back pain coming on, quickly take a non-steroidal anti-inflammatory, since most of the symptoms you have are related to inflammation.
So an aspirin, ibuprofen.
Right, ibuprofen. Take it right away and watch how you're using your body. If you do those three things, you can probably either avoid having another episode of back pain or stop it in its tracks.
Well, Dr. Stern, thank you so much for joining us.
You're very welcome.
We've been talking to Jack Stern, a neurosurgeon specializing in spine surgery at Weill Cornell Medical College. He's also the co-founder of Spine Options, a facility devoted to non-surgical care of back and neck pain. His new book is called Ending Back Pain.